Your presence this morning is certainly indicative of your innocent things divine, and we're elated with your presence. And as Doug said, we welcome you back at every possible opportunity. Let's remember our services throughout the day. This evening at 6 o'clock, Brother Brian will be speaking at that hour. If possible, come back and be with us for the 6 o'clock service. Good to have visitors with us. Of course, Maxine and I are glad to have Gary and Janet with us from Texas. They're visiting over the weekend, and we're always glad to see them. Speaking of Maxine, she was getting ready this morning, but got the feeling bad and wasn't able to be here this morning. We want to continue to pray for the ones Doug mentioned and who are on the sick list and who need our assistance from time to time. I'm going to speak on a subject today which I don't talk on very often. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I've ever talked on it. It's baptism for the dead. I don't know of any statement in the New Testament, maybe even in the Bible, that's more controversial and difficult to understand than what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians 15 when he talks about being baptized for the dead. If you read commentaries, you'll get about as many views as you have commentaries on what this means. I want to study it with you. I don't claim to have the total answer to it, but I want to give you something to think about today. You know, in the field of hermeneutics, which means understanding or interpreting the Bible, under Greek mythology, there was a god named Hermes, and he's supposed to interpret other gods. We derived our word hermeneutics from that, which means an understanding of the Bible. One of the laws of hermeneutics, or understanding the Bible, basic laws, is to hold a scripture in context. That is, you study the verses before it, you study the verses after it, real meticulously. And that will help one, and I believe it does, it will help one to understand something that may be rather difficult. And that's what we're going to do today. And we're going to study this, and I want you to think with me as we study. We're going to study, first of all, the verse, Ronnie, I believe, has up here my chart. Yes, has the beginning with verse 27. And you can either look up here, you can look it up in your Bible. Now, what I'm going to do today in these two verses prior to "else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead," I'm going to read these two verses to you. They were read in your hearing a while ago in the scriptures here. And I'm going to take these pronouns. Of all things, there are 11 pronouns in two verses. And pronouns have antecedents. And in order to understand the Bible, you've got to know what the antecedent of a pronoun is. And I'll admit that one or two of these pronouns down here gave me trouble, and I changed my mind on one of them twice. I hope I have them right. But what I did, I put in parentheses who I believe the antecedent of each pronoun is, and there's 11 of them, and that's going to help us to understand the next verse. And so I'm going to read them to you now. And I want you to follow me as we read them, and you can read your Bible and follow along. Verse 27, "For he," God, and I have that in parentheses, I believe that's God. Now, if you differ with me, that's fine. You can straighten me out if you want to. "For he," God, "hath put all things under his," Christ, there's another pronoun, and I've got Christ up there. I believe that's correct. I hope it is. "But when he," God, notice all these pronouns. "But when he," God, "saith all things are put under him," Christ, "it is manifest that he," God, "is accepted, which did put all things under him," Christ. I want to pause there just a minute. Here it says that all things are put under Christ, and that God is the exception. He is not under Christ, and that is correct. God has never been under Christ. Christ rules over everything except God. He rules over the church. He rules over West Boonville. He rules over his kingdom. He rules over everything except God. God is an exception to the rule. And that's what Paul said here, and I believe that. I believe there is rank in the Godhood, and I believe God is above all. And if we start out here, God is the one that put things under Christ, and so God is the one that worked out the remedial system and told Christ what he wanted to do, because read, "For he," God, "hath put all things under him." God is the one that put things under Christ in the first place. Do you follow that? He sure did. God's the one that did it. He has the power to do it. Now, speaking of exceptions to a rule, I want you to go with me back to Matthew 3 for just a moment. John the Baptist came, his clarion voice broke the silence of the Old Testament, and he came in the wilderness of Judea. He was eating locusts and wild honey, and he preached, told the Jews to repent, and that his baptism was for the remission of sin. And about the time he got started really good in baptizing a lot of folks, not only in the Jordan River, but other places, Jesus came to him. Jesus was 6 months younger than John. They were cousins. And he came to John, and he said, John, I want to be baptized. And that floored John. It confused him. It flabbergasted him. And I can understand why. John knew his baptism was the baptism of repentance. Jesus didn't have anything to repent of. He's perfect. And it was for the remission of sins. And he knew that Jesus had no sin, and that's why it floored him. He just couldn't understand it. He said, Lord, if there's any baptizing takes place, I need to be baptized of you. I think John is confessing there that he wasn't sinless, but Jesus was. You follow that? John is admitting he was not sinless. He said, when it comes to baptism, I actually need to be baptized of you. But Jesus said something that straightened John out. It straightened him out. He said, suffer it to be so now. We suffer the exception and not the rule. So he says, John, I am not receiving your baptism. I am receiving an exception to it. And John says, I got it. Now I'll baptize you. You follow me? He didn't receive John's baptism. He couldn't receive John's baptism because he had no sins. He received an exception to it. And the Bible says to fulfill all righteousness. I've had people to tell me, I want to be baptized. Jesus said Jesus wasn't baptized to be saved. No, he wasn't baptized because he was already saved either. Jesus never did have any sins. No one could be baptized in design like Jesus because he was sinless and no one sinless. So to say, I want to be baptized for the same reason of Jesus, you can't do that unless you're sinless. Is that what you are? Yet people will say that. I'm going to be baptized like Jesus. And he wasn't baptized to be saved. Well, that just shows you how far some people will go in the realm of religion. But my point is this. You have an exception in Matthew 3 and you have an exception here. He said he is accepted who did put all things under him. That is, God was an exception to the rule. And he's never been put under Christ. Now let's finish the verse. Let's hit the next verse, the last verse. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, Christ. Now, I had trouble with that pronoun one time, and I thought that was God, but I backed off of that. I studied my context a little closer. It's referring to Christ. You see, Christ is reigning now. And all things have not been put under him yet, because the last enemy to be subdued is death, and not all people have been raised yet, but they're going to be raised. And then all things will be put under him, and then things are going to go back to God where they all started. The cycle is completed. You follow me? The cycle will have been completed. We're in a cycle now. Did you know that? And you know who made the cycle? God. He started with the promise in Adam and Eve that the woman's seed would bless the world, promised to Abraham through the law of Moses, through the beginning of the church, and we're in the last days now, and Jesus is coming. That's the next thing on the agenda. We passed through the patriarchal law and the Mosaic law. The church has started now, been in existence for 2,000 years. So we're in the latter part of the cycle. Let me read it to you. Let's read what it says. It says, when all things shall be subdued unto him, Christ, then shall the Son, Christ, there's a noun, but the antecedent of this noun is Christ, also himself, Christ, listen, also himself, Christ, be subject unto him, God, that put all things under him, Christ, that God may be all in all. Now she's over. The cycle's completed. So when the cycle is completed, then all things are going to go back to God where they all started. That's right. God unfolded this scheme of redemption, this remedial system by sending Christ into the world to live for 33 years and to die for our sins and to give His blood and to give His life and to start the church. And we can be saved by obeying the gospel and being in the church and doing what God says. And we're looking forward, even after our death, until what He says here, that all things go back to God. Now, I'll tell you why this is important. Right before this word, the words, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, is because Paul is standing on the pinnacle of the second coming of Jesus when he makes this statement, and he's looking backward, you see. He's talking about at the time when all things are put back under God. Then he said, else what shall they? You see, he used a third person pronoun instead of a first person pronoun. That's what confuses people. It just flabbergasts them. They say, yes, but he said, else what shall they do? He didn't say we. Said if he'd used a first person pronoun, we could have understood it better. Let me tell you something. Remember, he's standing on the pinnacle of the second coming of Jesus, looking back to his death and my death and your death, and he speaks of us as they. That's why he used a third person pronoun. Are you listening to me? That's why you've got to study the verse before as well as the verse after. Someone says, but preacher, did Paul ever use a third person pronoun when he is referring to himself? Oh, yes, he did, more than once. If you turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Paul said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. That's third person. He didn't say, I was caught up into the third heaven. But this man was caught up into the third heaven, the paradise of God, and saw things unlawful for a man to utter. Why did he use the third person? I may not know, but I believe it was to show humility. I believe that Paul felt that it would sound braggadocious and arrogant for him to say, I was caught up into the third heaven, so he decided to use a third person pronoun referring to himself. So don't tell me he can't do it, because I proved to you in the Bible he can do it. And he did it here. He did it here. He said, how shall they, that's a third person pronoun, how shall they who are baptized for the dead, if there be no resurrection. Why are they baptized for the dead? Whose death? Their own death. Paul's death. My death. Your death. When I was baptized, you know what I looked forward to? Victory over my death. You see, when Paul made this statement, though, he was pointing back to this. Because all things have been put back in God's hand. The cycle's completed. You see, that's why he used the third person pronoun instead of the first person pronoun and says, we, he didn't say we or I. He said, what shall they do? Looking forward to our own death. And I was baptized. One of the reasons I was baptized is I was looking forward to my death. Because everyone who has been baptized does that, because if you were going to live forever, there wouldn't be any reason to be baptized anyway. Would there? Let's say you're going to live forever. Would there be any reason to be baptized? Not at all. But you're not going to live forever. I'm not going to live forever. Nobody. Paul knew he wasn't going to live forever. Therefore, he used the pronoun they, a third person pronoun. He said, else what shall they do, as I read it here, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? For whose death? Well, your own death. Because when you're baptized, that's what you're looking forward to. You see? If the dead rise not at all, why are they baptized for the dead? Now, there's no doubt that the death here is physical death. There's not even a challenge about that. That is what he's talking about. But someone says, wait a minute, preacher. In the next verse, he does use the first person. Yes. Because then Paul is speaking of his status right then. Listen to this. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? We Christians. What does he mean, jeopardy? Well, we're in the danger of death every 24 hours a day. Paul said, I die daily. He is in the throes of death, in the danger of death. He said he fought with a wild beast at Ephesus. And I tell you, when you fight with a wild beast, it's dangerous. Now, whether he actually fought with a wild beast or that's metaphorical, I don't know, but it really doesn't matter. He fought with a beast in Ephesus. And when you do that, you're in the danger of death. What kind of death? Physical death. And so there's no doubt that that's what he's talking about. So as he shifts back to his present status, that is when he wrote the letter, you see, he used the first person pronoun, we. He says, what shall we do? You see? He went from the third person to the first person. But when he used the third person, he was looking back from when all things are put under Christ. I read that to you. Or under God at the final consummation of time. You see, right now, Christ is reigning. Right now, while I'm speaking, He's reigning. And He's going to reign until the last enemy, which is death. Death is spoken of as an enemy in this same chapter. And when death has been conquered, and that's the last thing on the agenda. But someone says, when will that be? When everybody's raised from the dead. When Christians are raised from the dead and everybody else. Then Jesus will have conquered death itself. And when that happens, it's going back to God where it started. Well, I read it to you. Unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Isn't that simple? Isn't it wonderful? Very plain, isn't it? And that's why Paul said, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? And so when someone asks you, what is he talking about? Else what shall they do? He's talking about our own death in a retrospective way, looking back to the judgment day. Because that's what takes place. That's what he's talking about, is judgment. Right here in this text. In the first two verses. Now, what I want to do is show you on the chart up here some ideas about being baptized from the dead. And to show you, I've read them. One possible answer, you look at the chart. Some say, well, that's Christ. Well, what do you mean, Christ? Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? And what's it? Well, Christ commanded it. Christ. Well, yes, he did command baptism, all right. But that wouldn't have anything to do with being baptized for the dead. Someone said, well, Christ died. Yes, he died, all right, but he's not dead now. He's very much alive at the right hand of God, so that wouldn't work. Someone says, well, it may be that it's for dead people, for dead people. In other words, here's some people that should have been baptized for the remission of sins. They should have been baptized, but they fooled around, they procrastinated, and they died. And after they died, someone wants to be baptized for them. Now, that word for is from Hooper, which actually means in behalf of. That's the meaning of the word for. And so, someone says, maybe that's what he means, is that that after somebody dies, and they should have been baptized, like Joseph Smith said in the Mormon Church, that you could be baptized for dead people. Matter of fact, one woman said she'd been baptized 1,000 times for dead people. But that won't work because salvation is a personal thing. You cannot obey the gospel for someone else. And I can stand here and give you a number of scriptures which refute that idea of being baptized for dead people. But some think that's what that means. But I don't believe it means that. That you can be baptized for someone who has died. As I said, that woman said, I've been baptized 1,000 times for dead people. Someone else said, well, maybe it means Ephesians 2:1 that we're dead in sin. No, the death in sin is a spiritual death and not a physical. This is a physical death here. And so it's true we are dead in trespasses and sin before we're saved. That's right. Someone said maybe that's why we're baptized for the dead would be. But this is physical death. That's not physical death. So that won't work. It couldn't be that. Well, someone says it might be for relatives to make them happy. To make them happy. In other words, here's a woman that has a husband who's not a Christian. And she's begged him all of her life to be baptized. He never did. He never was baptized. But she begged him to be baptized. But finally she died. The wife died. And the man got to thinking about it after his wife died and said, well, she begged me all my life, so I'm going to be baptized for the dead for her death. She's dead now, baptized in behalf of her because she requested it before she passed away. Well, it's true, some people are baptized because of the influence of other people. But if that were the only reason a person is baptized, it wouldn't even be a scriptural baptism. Just because someone had influence on you to be baptized, you still have to be baptized according to the Bible from the heart, that form of doctrine, Romans 6:17. I don't believe that would work either. But I believe this last one is for ourselves in the context. At least that's why I was baptized. I was baptized because I knew I was going to die. And I wanted to be ready for that death. So therefore, I was baptized in behalf of my death. How about you? Well, someone said, but Paul says they. I've explained that. I understand that he didn't say we, that he said they, but I've already gone through all of that. So I hope this will help you understand what Paul meant when he said, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? I was baptized for my own death. And I think if you admitted that you were too. If you thought you were going to live forever, there wouldn't be any purpose in being baptized anyway. But you knew that one of these days, you're going to slough off this mortal coil. And your body and spirit's going to be separated. And that's what death is, ladies and gentlemen. It's a separation of body and spirit. James said the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead, being alone. And so when the spirit is separated from your body, you're dead. You're dead. Someone said, well, that's admitting that I have a spirit. Oh, yes, I believe that. I believe that all of us have a spirit within us. And that spirit is immortal. That spirit's going to live beyond the confines of the grave. Listen to me. Your spirit's going to live on. Someone says, yes, but preacher, you talked about this resurrection and that the last enemy, which is death, is going to be conquered and all of us will be raised from the dead. And what kind of body are we going to have then? Are we going to have this same body? No, I don't believe so, because flesh and blood, I don't believe, can inherit the kingdom of God. But I believe you'll have a spiritual body. Someone said, will it look like this one? Well, I don't know. Maybe in some cases we would hope it wouldn't look like this one, but that it would be maybe better looking than this one. But even if it were, and I don't know, you're into a field there that no one knows. It'd be in a field of speculation. But one of the things that's made crystal clear, ladies and gentlemen, is that you're going to have a spiritual body. Paul says in this same chapter, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this mortal body will put on immortality. Well, this is a mortal body, and you're sitting out, all of you are sitting out there with mortal bodies. Anybody in this hall, listen to me, you have a mortal body. But you're not going to have it forever. You're going to have an immortal body. Someone says, what's the difference? Well, the difference is, you know what mortality means. It means subject to death. And that next body is not going to be subject to death. That you're going to live on. We sing a song, I live on and on and on. And that is correct. You will. That's why I'm up here preaching. That's why I preached all my life. Is to try to get people to obey the gospel. To look forward to their death. Because they're going to die. And so they're baptized in behalf of their own death. They're looking forward to the fact that one of these days this mortal body will put on immortality. And it has always made me happy and rejoicing to see people come forward to be baptized, to obey the gospel. It just thrills. And angels in heaven rejoice. I've said back in the older days when I started preaching, it's true I baptized a lot more people than I do today. I was in a meeting in Hainesville, Louisiana, and the last night of the meeting, which is Friday night, 22 boys and girls lined up, two pews. 22 of them were baptized in one night. Things like that make me happy. You don't see that too often nowadays, but if it should happen, it should make you happy. Because the angels in heaven rejoice when people are baptized for the remission of sins in behalf of their death, knowing that they're going to stand in the august presence of God. I hope if you're here today, this Lord's Day morning, and you need to be baptized as you come, you'll make God happy. You make angels happy. You make us happy. Make everybody happy. That has the right attitude. And if you have been baptized, but you need to renew your allegiance to God and ask forgiveness to be reconciled once again in the body, which is the church, you need to do that if it's something of a public nature, of course. And as Acts 8 says, we'll pray for you and with you. If you're here today and subject, we hope that you will consider seriously about your salvation, looking forward to your death, because I guarantee you it's coming. And you'll be ready. You'll be baptized for the dead. Will you not come? Shall we stand and sing our invitation song?